Welcome to the AM Jackson Podcast with your host, Mark Daly. News, sports, and conversations that are important to Jackson County. This is the AM Jackson Podcast.
Local Jackson news now from the WKHM.com News Center.
Good morning. 5 minutes after the top of the hour, reporting with WKHM News, I'm Mark Daly. Former Michigan Theater of Jackson Executive Director Steve Tucker has released a statement responding to a recent press release from the theater's board of directors. Tucker says the board's statement contains serious inaccuracies regarding the end of his employment. He says he never submitted a formal or written notice of retirement and intended to continue leading the theater for several more years to ensure long-term stability and prepare a successor. Tucker claims some board members wanted him removed and that tensions grew in 2025 following changes in board leadership, leading to disputes over day-to-day operations. He says he was terminated January 22nd and instructed to leave the building that day, which he describes as unexpected. Tucker maintains he was fired, not retired, or resigned. He closed by thanking the Jackson community for its long-standing support of the theater. You can find more on this story at WKHM.com. Fire officials are investigating the cause of a house fire in Blackman, Leoni Township. The fire broke out late Wednesday afternoon at a home on Sager Road in Michigan Center. The homeowner, who lives alone, was able to get out safely and was not injured. Officials say some of the pets were inside the home, but their condition is not yet known. No nearby buildings were damaged. However, fire crews say the home is unlikely livable. The multiple fire departments that responded include Blackman Leoni Township, Summit Township, Jackson, and Napoleon. Collier Gibson has received its first payment to go toward the redevelopment of the Hayes Hotel, according to co-founder Scott Gibson. Gibson says the company, which purchased the Hayes for $25,000 in February of last year, received the payment this week.
But I can say for our project, as it is right now through the city, the project has received its first reimbursement. So the project, as it stands, has received its first dollar from the state this week. That's progress, right? So, you know, we've been working with the city. The city that actually has the agreement with the state, our entity that owns that building, is a subrecipient, right? So the actual contract is with the city, and then we have a contract with the city. So the state has a contract with the city. We have a contract with the city, right? So it flows through the city. So we just received our first dollars this week. So we are hopeful that that trend will continue.
A $4.5 million grant has been in limbo, with unspent project funds being removed from the budget by the House Appropriations Committee, which is still in litigation. That litigation made State Representative Sarah Leitner skeptical of Collier Gibson's ability to receive funding.
I don't know, because we did have a preliminary hearing, and the judge basically put a stay on that money saying that can't be spent, can't go out the door, so we get this figured out. They're wanting a full reporting because there is controversy between encumbered and non-encumbered funds, which for people out there, it's like, okay, if they already had the money set aside and planned out for, you know, this payment is supposed to go March 1, this one goes April 1, you know, things like that. They already had it laid out and turned in, then that's encumbered. If they didn't, that's non-encumbered.
Scott Gibson also discussed a planned date for ribbon cutting that would coincide with the activation of the building's first two floors.
We have a target for the building's 100th birthday, which is November 27th of this year. We broke the project up into two distinct phases. That ribbon cutting would be November 27th of this year, would be for the first phase. The first phase is the envelopes of the whole exterior of the building, including that roof that's terrible. And then we are going to activate the first two floors.
Scott laid out the general timeline and details for the planned phases of the project.
First two floors, we have a restaurant going in. It's Blockhouse. They're wonderful. They're out of Alma, Michigan. And we've already signed a 10-year lease with them. We signed it last year. And so they'll be going in the first floor. We're going to have three short-term rental units on the first floor, and then we've signed, on the second floor, we've signed an agreement with Regis, which is an international co-working firm, and they're going to be occupying and managing the whole second floor. So the phase one will be what I just described, and then phase two will be floors 3 through 10, and that'll be 106 apartments as we currently have it designed, and those apartments will come online about 12 to 15 months after that, based on our current plan. So basically, come online November of this year for phase one, end of next year will be phase two.
Full conversation with Scott Gibson can be found on the February 4th episode of the AM Jackson podcast. Wherever you get your podcast, we also have a link for you at WKHM.com. We're getting an update from local police after ICE agents make an arrest at an Amazon facility in Hazel Park.
Hazel Park police say they were contacted by ICE agents who requested a vehicle tow Monday. ICE reported they had a person flee from them on foot after exiting a moving vehicle in the parking lot of an Amazon warehouse. The suspect ran inside the warehouse where ICE attempted to follow, but was stopped by Amazon security. Amazon soon allowed ICE inside to take the subject into custody before Hazel Park police arrived. Hazel Park police make it clear they have not worked in conjunction with ICE or Border Patrol, and the enforcement of immigration law is a federal responsibility.
Ingrid Kelly, Michigan News Network.
Attorney General Dana Nessel says widespread ICE activity is being reported in Michigan, and her office is staying prepared in case of a large centralized operation like in Minneapolis. Nessel made the announcement during a roundtable yesterday in Detroit, where she also unveiled that nearly 75% of ICE detainees in Michigan have no criminal history, her message for local police.
Now, my department has been connecting with local law enforcement partners to support open communication between my department and those agencies, and I encourage every law enforcement agency in the state to review their own policies, especially those that relate to immigration work and federal agency participation.
Nessel has also launched a webpage where residents can report potential illegal ICE activity. The rumor alone is enough to empty a classroom. That's the warning from Michigan's leading early childhood advocates today. The Early Childhood Investment Corporation says reports of increased ICE enforcement near schools and child care centers are causing unrest in local communities. Alicia Guevara says even if a raid doesn't happen, the fear of one is keeping children at home and disrupting their education.
The research on child development, especially brain development, is really clear. Essentially, what we know to be true is that about 90% of a child's brain is formed by the time they reach the age of five. And so any of these types of events that happen, you're literally changing the architecture of a child's brain.
The organization is joining a national call for federal agents to back off from sensitive locations like daycares. They warn the instability is causing anxiety and depression in children as young as 3 and 4 years old. Jackson County Airport is seeking state and federal grant money for an aviation maintenance trade school with official backing from county officials.
The Jackson County Board of Commissioners unanimously approved a resolution in support of an aviation maintenance technician school at the Jackson County Airport during their study session on Tuesday. Airport Manager Juan Zapata spoke to the commissioners at the study session, expressing how their support would strengthen the airport's efforts to obtain federal and state grant funding for the school.
I wanted to apologize for coming to the study session to request a decision, but the deadline for this grant has passed already, and I want this application to be as strong as possible. So I'm asking for support from this body in the application for this grant, which will hopefully get us a trade school here in Jackson that will train aviation mechanics locally. Line item here, 20% shortage by 2028 of aviation mechanics in the United States.
Zapata clarified that the airport is not currently seeking to obtain any public funds from the county and gave an explanation of the grants that are being applied for.
So right now, we are expecting, if the budget at the federal level passes, we're expecting to get a $500,000 grant from the feds for fiscal year 26. This particular state grant will be for fiscal year 27 for $300,000. We have already started the drive to raise local funds, and that's private funds, to support the school, primarily in the purchase of equipment. We don't expect any grants from the county at this point in time.
More details can be found on our website, WKHM.com. Reporting for WKHM, I'm Luke Moorhead.
Jackson County Board of Commissioners is considering changes to public comment rules after a lengthy and contentious meeting over the Sheriff's Office partnership with U.S. Immigration Customs Enforcement through the 287G program. County Administrator Michael Overton warned that extended public comment could disrupt county business, saying forced adjournments could delay time-sensitive projects and grants, potentially costing the county money. Under a proposed policy, residents would be limited to agenda items during the opening public comment period, with other topics reserved for a second comment period at the end of the meeting. Commissioners were split on the proposal, with some citing safety and efficiency concerns, while others warned the change could limit access for rural and elderly residents. The proposal will go through administrative and legal review before returning to the board February 17th. Michigan Department of Transportation has announced that they have issued a permit to Comcast for utility work on U.S. 127 at Territorial Road in Jackson County starting early Sunday morning. Work is scheduled to begin at 7 a.m. with an estimated end time of 11 a.m. on the same morning. MDOT says this project will require intermittent lane closures in each direction on U.S. 127 at Territorial Road throughout the operation to ensure the safety of utility workers and motorists. Traffic control will be maintained by the Michigan State Police, and drivers are advised to expect delays in the area during the work period. Visual map of the impacted lanes can be accessed at WKHM.com or the MDOT websites. Travelers heading to Metro Detroit Airport will see some new security barriers in place. A number of 4.5-ton cement barriers have been placed in front of the doors on the departures and arrivals levels of the McNamara Terminal. Plans for a permanent barrier are being discussed by the Wayne County Airport Authority and airlines. The change was made after a man drove a car into the terminal last month. Six people were treated for injuries. The driver is still undergoing a medical evaluation, and police are continuing their investigation. President Trump's suggestion that Michigan's elections be federalized is getting pushback by Governor Gretchen Whitmer.
Whitmer says that the more than 1,600 Democratic, Republican, and independent clerks will continue to handle elections in the state. Trump suggested sending in federal agents to take control from the clerks, which would be a clear violation of the Constitution. Whitmer's statement says, in part, this November, Michiganders will work together once again to run another safe, secure election. We will do our constitutional duty without interference. I'm Jeremy Jenkins, Michigan News Network.
Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib among a group to introduce the Defend the 14th Amendment resolution. The 14th Amendment establishes birthright citizenship and all people's right to due process when in the country. President Donald Trump signed an executive order in January of 2025 that attempted to end birthright citizenship, which several federal courts blocked. Tlaib says the resolution would reaffirm Congress' recognition of the amendment and ensure the government works for everyone. Four former governors come together for a bipartisan forum on the current political climate. Republican governors John Engler and Rick Snyder and Democratic governors Jim Blanchard and Jennifer Granholm spoke in Lansing. Topics included decorum, recent ICE activity, and other hot-button issues. Former Governor Jennifer Granholm says division can start with something as simple as a candidate not coming to certain areas and hearing the thoughts of the residents.
I think that this algorithmic slicing, the siloing of people on social media, is a big culprit, and people aren't swimming in the same pond at all. Their realities, their facts are completely different because their sources are completely different. Content creators who are extreme are rewarded because extremism is more interesting and gets a greater number of clicks.
All four governors highlighted the need to put aside personal issues to do what's best for the state and for the country. Michigan Republican congressional delegation sends letter voicing concerns over election integrity to Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson. The letter included Macomb County Clerk Anthony Fellini's statement that 14 non-citizens registered to vote in the county. Benson is asked to answer several questions by the end of February, including whether anyone ineligible to vote canceled their automatic voter registration. State of Michigan is trying to get more students to take AP courses. The parents of more than 80,000 students are being mailed letters that inform them that their children have the potential for success in AP course to earn college credit While in high school, Michigan is one of two states using the tool to identify students who are likely to score a 3 or higher on an AP exam based on the student's performance in the pre-SAT exam. In 2025, a record number of public school students took an AP exam, and nearly 5% increase from 2024. Chelsea police are now looking for two women who dropped off a human skull at a Goodwill donation center, according to the Chelsea Police Department. Michigan News Network's Kyle Kimball.
Police had asked for help identifying the woman who donated the skull, wrapped in a shirt, as seen in security footage shared to social media. They've also observed a second woman, the driver of a dark gray four-door SUV in which the two women left. Both are described as in their late 40s or early 50s with brown shoulder-length hair. Police have not shared a photo of the second woman. Chelsea police turned over the skull to the Washtenaw County Medical Examiner and anticipates its next stop to be the University of Michigan Department of Anthropology. Although it remains unclear when that will happen.
Kyle Kimball, the Michigan News Network.
State Senator Jim Runstedt is urging fellow lawmakers to pass a bill that would demand accountability from Child Protective Services. The bill would allow lawmakers to review and oversee CPS cases brought to them by worried voters.
You sign a memorandum of understanding that you're not going to disclose personal information, but it would allow legislators like me and others who care to get involved and get information. If somebody called me about a case, I can take a look at it and see what's happening. Currently, we can't get any information. The only person that can get information is the chair that oversees the CPS, and they're usually working at behest of the governor, whoever the governor is, and will not push out any dirty laundry for the public to see.
The senator introduced the bill after the 2023 death of Ethan Belcher, who was killed by his mother and stepfather less than 2 years after CPS opened an investigation to the case. The case was closed because the parents were not cooperating. No action has been taken against CPS or caseworkers. It's Thursday, the 5th. Day of February. Today we celebrate Disaster Day. It's also National Chocolate Fondue Day. Hey, let that chocolate flow, my friends. Shower with a Friend Day. That's got to be a really close friend. It's National, can I say this word? It's National Fart Day, which means it's also National Time to Turn the Fans On at the Gym Day. It's National Weather Person's Day. You know, I'm not a weather person, but I play one on the radio. And it's World Nutella Day. On this date in 1917, Mexico's constitution was adopted. It was on this date in 1997. The verdict in the O.J. Simpson civil lawsuit was returned guilty. OJ was ordered to pay $8.5 million plus punitive damages to the family of Ron Goldman. On this date in 2001, Kelly Ripa was announced to be Regis Philbin's co-host on his morning TV show, replacing Kathy Lee Gifford. So on this date in 2002, a federal grand jury indicted John Walker Lind in 10 charges, saying he allegedly was trained by Osama bin Laden's network and then conspired with the Taliban to kill Americans. It was in 2004 that Janet Jackson's chest became the most searched image in internet history after it was seen by millions on TV after Justin Timberlake pulled at her top during a performance at the Super Bowl halftime show, the infamous wardrobe malfunction. It was on this date in 2008. A major tornado outbreak across the southern United States left at least 58 people dead. It was on this date in 2012. Quarterback Eli Manning won his second Super Bowl Most Valuable Player Award after leading the New York Giants to a 21-17 victory over the New England Patriots in Super Bowl XLVI. That's Super Bowl 46. Super Bowl 46. Whew, that was a long road. It was on this date in 2016, a new species of black tarantula that lives near Folsom Prison, California, was named after Johnny Cash. On this date in 2020, U.S. Senate voted to acquit President Donald Trump on charges of abuse of power and an obstruction of Congress. Also on this date in 2020, American actor Kirk Douglas passed away at the age of 103. And on this date in 2022, 11-time world surfing champion Kelly Slater won his 8th pipeline title, beating 22-year-old Hawaiian Seth Moniz in the finale. I totally missed that. It's the first time hearing of it. Birthdays today include Davis Cleveland is 24, actor from Shake It Up. Luke Newton from Bridgerton is 33 today. Jeremy Sumpner is 37, actor from Peter Pan, Friday Night Lights. Darren Criss, 39, actor from Glee, American Crime Story. You have Michael Sheen is 57, actor from the Twilight franchise, Good Omens, Masters of Sex. Laura Linney is 62, actress, Ozark, The Truman Show. Jennifer Jason Leigh is 64, actress, Fast Times at Ridgemont High, single white female. Tim Meadows, longtime member of Saturday Night Live, he's 65 today. Christopher Guest is 78, actor, director, This Is Spinal Tap. Barbara Hershey is 78, actress, Hannah and Her Sisters, Beaches. Michael Mann, director, Heat, Ferrari. He was behind Miami Vice, too. He's 83 today. Comedian Red Buttons would have had a birthday today. He passed away in 2006. Other birthdays today include Sarah Evans, 55 today.
After 18 years of stepping, walk away. Our little ponytail girl grew up to be a woman. Now she's gone in a blink of an eye. She left the suds in the bucket and the clothes hanging out on the line.
Bobby Brown has a birthday today. He's 57 today. David Denny from the Steve Miller Band, he's a guitarist. He is 78 today. Chris Barron from the Spin Doctors is 58 today. Al Cooper, formerly of Blood, Sweat, and Tears, 82 today. And from Three Dog Night, Corey Wells would have had a birthday today. He passed away in 2015. For more local stories, breaking news, and interviews with Jackson's newsmakers, visit us online at WKHM.com. I'm Mark Daly reporting.
And you can't stop love. Now all the fitties in the beauty shop got some going nonstop, sipping on pink lemonade. After 18 years, just step and walk away. Our little ponytail girl grown up to be a woman. Now she's gone in the blink of an eye. She left the suds in the bucket and the clothes hanging out on the line.
I'm Mark Daly, and you're listening to the AM Jackson Podcast.
Back to AM Jackson on WKHM, Jackson's News Talk 970 AM and 101.5 FM.
And sports up next, courtesy of Kettlebell Hotspot Sport and Fitness Center. So if you're listening to this right now, I know it's Thursday. They don't have classes on Thursday, but if your schedule translates from one day to the next, maybe, just maybe, that 6 o'clock class could fit into your schedule. Monday, Wednesday, Friday. They also have classes at 8 o'clock, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Monday, Wednesday, they have a 4:30 class. Then Saturday morning circuit. Boy, that's a fun one. That's a fun one. That's at 9 a.m. Saturday. Kettlebell Hotspot. That's where your functional fitness begins, improving your strength, balance, and mobility. So wherever you are in your physical fitness journey, they have a spot for you. Kettlebell Hotspot, 7851 Spring Arbor Road, on Facebook and online, kettlebellhotspot.com. And let's get to your sports. We're going to start off high school basketball. Busy night across the county last night in high school hoops. And that's where we start off in the Big 8, where last night it was Concord getting the win over Vermontville Maple Valley 62-46. It was Quincy topping the Red Wolves of Clinton 52-33. You know, they're a football wrestling school, and I'm not saying, I'm just saying. On to Cascades Conference boys basketball. Not much from yesterday, but today you've got Grass Lake at Manchester, Addison at Hanover Horton, Vandy at Homer, Michigan Centers at Leslie, and East Jackson is at Napoleon. Tip times across the boards, 7 o'clock, with the exception of that Grass Lake and Manchester contest. That's a 6 o'clock tip time there in Grass Lake. We have, out of the Catholic High School League, where yesterday it was Detroit Loyola defeating Clarkston Everest Collegiate 65-29. But today, you've got Riverview Gabriel Richard at Ann Arbor Father Gabriel. It's the Battle of the Richards. And then today, you've got Detroit Country Day at Bloomfield Hills Cranbrook Kingswood. Northwest at Lumen. And that's our broadcast game tonight, which is going to be on 95.9 The Power Cow. We've got U of M basketball here, Detroit basketball down the hall to the left on Fox Sports. So we're gonna put on the Power Cow down the hall to the left on Fox Sports as we have Northwest at Lumen. That should be a really good matchup. 7 o'clock tip time there. I-8, so just kind of have a little high school Catholic High School League I-8 crossover with that one. Nothing else really from the I-8 to report on today with our sports update. On to the white, SEC white, that's a big blank too. And then we go to the SCAA East, where Jackson Christian plays. And last night they fell to Pittsford, 58-41 for the final there. On to girls basketball, Big 8 basketball tonight. You've got Springport at Bronson. Stockbridge, saw the reporting from Jeff Steers, just hearing word that Stockbridge, starting in the 27-28 school year, going to be joining the Cascades Conference. So Stockbridge will be at Concord coming up tonight, 7 o'clock. Vermontville Maple Valley at Quincy at 7 and Union City at Reading at 7. That's girls basketball out of the Big 8. Cascades basketball from last night. Still looking for a score from that East Jackson-Addison contest. How about Homer defeating Leslie 51-36? Columbia getting that win over Manchester last night 57-16. Golden Eagles traveled to the land of the Flying Dutch, came home with that victory. Gabby Gaydosh led the way with 19 points. Riley Knapp, 13 points. Cecilia Slatt had 5. The win improves their record to 11-2. Next game is Friday night against Jonesville. Michigan Center and Hanover Horton. Center getting the win there, 58-52. A dogfight last night. McKinley Gaddy had 22 points, 6 assists. Kara Straub, 16 points, 12 boards. Maurice View, 11 points, 5 rebounds. Michigan Center, now 13-2 overall. They are 10-1 in Cascades play. Jonesville defeated Napoleon 52-38 last night in girls' hoops. Elsewhere from high school basketball, we go to the Catholic High School League. And you know what? I'm not seeing Lumen in action there for girls basketball, so we're just going to skip that. On to the I-8 in girls basketball. Oh, you know what? They do have Lumen at Northwest. That's a 7 o'clock tonight. So the boys are at Lumen. Girls are at Northwest tonight. On to the Big Ten, where MSU basketball, they have now dropped 2 in a row. I feel like that's the first time that's happened all season long. 10th-ranked Spartans fell behind early, couldn't complete the comeback, dropping a 76-73 road loss at Minnesota Wednesday night at Williams Arena. Spartans trailed by 11 at the half, faced a 16-point deficit late before rallying in the final minutes. Cohen Carr led state with 16.6 boards. Jordan Scott had a career-high 15 points in his first career start. Jeremy Fears Jr., a double-double, 10 points, 11 assists. Trey Fort, 12 off the bench, knocking down 4 threes. Michigan State cut the deficit to 2 in the final seconds, but Minnesota sealed the win at the free throw line. Spartans have now lost 2 straight. They fall to 19-4 overall, 9-3 in Big Ten play. Minnesota improves to 11-12. Michigan State returns home Saturday night. They host 5th-ranked Illinois at the Brez. Tip-off set for 8 o'clock. On to the hardwoods. Oh, wait, we've got more from the Big Ten before we advance on. Also from the Big Ten yesterday, it was Illinois topping Northwestern 84-44 Iowa beating Washington 84-74. Tonight in the Big Ten, Michigan, they play host to Penn State. That's going to be a 6:30 broadcast, 7:30 tip time. I'm sorry, 7 o'clock tip time for the Wolverines. The Red Hot Wolverines, 10-1 in Big Ten play. They are 20-1 overall. They got bumped up. They are the second-rated team in all the land right now. The Penn State Nittany Lions, boy, they're just picking up right where their football team left off. They are 1-10 in Big Ten play. Michigan, 24.5-point favorites tonight, 97.9 when it comes to the matchup predictor for the Michigan football or basketball, Michigan basketball Wolverines. On to the hardwoods of the association for the and yesterday it took overtime, but the Bucks beat the Pelicans 141-137. Cavaliers on top of the Clippers 124-91. Spurs beating the Thunder 115-106. Grizzlies over the Kings 129-125. Celtics getting a win over the Rockets, 114-93. It was the Knicks in overtime beating Connor Dockery's Denver Nuggets. They get Jokic back, and all of a sudden they start falling apart, 134-127. Timberwolves beat the Raptors, 128-126 yesterday. Pistons, they're in action tonight as they take on the Wizards of Washington Place. Detroit, 20-5 when they're home. The Wizards are 4-19 on the road. 14.5-point favorites for the Detroit basketball Pistons tonight. 91.5% chance of distance. Little baseball news as we get close to wrapping things up. Ask and you shall receive. Fans have been begging Chris Illich and the Tigers to spend money on a star free agent. That's what they got yesterday when they signed left-handed ace Framber Valdez. ESPN's Jeff Parsons reported the signing as a three-year, $115 million record-setting deal that will earn Valdez over $38 million a year. That's the highest annual salary for a left-handed pitcher ever, as well as the highest for a Latin American pitcher. Signing came hours after the Tigers finished their arbitration hearing with Tarek Skubal, which we are expected to learn the results sometime today. Tigers signing also did us all the favor of shifting our attention away from the Wings and Spartans last night. You already talked about the Spartans. How about those Detroit Hockey Red Wings? You know what? Let's let Ken Cal give you the wrap-up there.
Leader Karel Vemelka stopped 29 shots, leading the Mammoth to a 4-1 victory over the Red Wings last night in Salt Lake City, Utah. Sean Dursey, Nick Schmaltz, Dylan Gunther, and Clinton Keller scored for Utah, recorded their 30th victory of the season. Dylan Larkin scored Detroit's lone goal, came late in the third period on a power play with John Gibson pulled for the extra attacker. The Red Wings' record going into the Olympic break is 33-19-6. They have 72 points, and they are currently in third place in the Atlantic Division. Again, the final score, Utah 4, and the Red Wings 1. The Red Wings are idle until February 26th. That's when they travel to Ottawa to face off against the Senators and catch all the action on that night at 6:45 p.m. on the Detroit Red Wings radio network.
Back to high school sports for a bit. Let's touch upon hockey as the Jackson United hockey squad ended up losing to Dexter last night, 4-2 for that final. Elsewhere in the white, Chelsea beat Adrian 9-1. And Brownstown Woodhaven got a win over Ann Arbor Huron 3-1. Lumen Christie also dialed up a loss last night. They took on South Lyon 7-1 for that final there as the Titans were on the road. Bowling last night, girls bowling, Addison versus Columbia. Addison getting the 4-26 win over the Golden Eagles last night. And Addison versus Columbia last night. A boy started off slow in the Bakers, and that always makes it hard to catch up as they went through individuals. I'll give Trevor Bird a well-deserved shout-out for a personal best 193 in the second match of the night. So looks like the boys lost as well. Did not get a score with that emailed reporting in from them. wrestling from last night as we had Columbia versus Hanover Horton. Hey, you know, I know. If coaches don't send it to me, you're not going to hear about it here. I've reached out to all the coaches via email. So if you want to hear your school here, say, hey, how come you guys didn't let AM Jackson know? I'll report it. They go through the time of sending it to me, I'll report it. So Columbia in a try last night. It was Columbia, Hanover Horton, and Manchester. Columbia versus Hanover Horton. It was these are guys who got pins last night. Bodie Wrangler for Columbia at 165. Liam McMurdy for Columbia at 175, getting the win over Hanover Horton. Austin Hochter of Hanover Horton beating Columbia's Blake Sherwood at 215 with a pin. Dylan Boone from Columbia getting the win over Reed Matthews at Hanover Horton with a fall at 336. A.J. Lusby, Hanover Horton over Max Heider from Brooklyn, fall at 134. Cody West at 126 pinned Nathan Willett of Hanover Horton at 312. Elijah Losey of Columbia beat A.J. Fielder of Hanover Horton with a fall at 148. That's the 138 class. And the Manchester versus Hanover Horton side of things, it was Vince Budd of Manchester pinning Malin Frost of Hanover Horton at 54. That's a 150 weight class. At 157, Blake Sloan of Manchester beat Levi Bradley with a fall at 100. Jeremy Ammerheim of Manchester beat Nick Thomas of Horton with a fall at 131. That was at 190. At 215, Austin Hochter of Hanover Horton beat Alex Kozra of Manchester with a fall at 34 seconds. Reed Matthews of Hanover Horton got a win over Emmett Tompkins of Manchester. They're at the 285 weight class, that fall at 123. Nathan Willett of Hanover Horton beaten Brogan Brosher of Manchester with a fall at 450. That's at 126. At 132, Vince Klapprich of Manchester beat Garrett Frost with a fall at 21 seconds. And A.J. Fielder of Horton beat Memphis Falzek of Manchester with a fall at 241. That was at the 138 weight class. All right, that's your sports on AM Jackson, courtesy of Kettlebell Hotspot Sport and Fitness Center. It's where your functional fitness begins.
Resetting. You're listening to the AM Jackson Podcast with your host, Mark Daly.
Back to AM Jackson, live from the County National Bank Studio.
At 7:33 and a half, and it's a pleasure to have Tina from Hometown Heating, Cooling, and More back in the studio with us today. Tina, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing so well. Everything well out in
Very
Parma?
Very well. Yes. Yeah. Yes. 70 and sunny and just gorgeous
really?
Out there in Parma.
How do you make... So we have global warming impacting just Parma.
Oh, just Parma. It's always 70 and sunny in Parma. Wait. At least in our office it is. It's usually about 73 and sunny in our office.
So. I was going to say with those fine products that you guys serve up, it's got to be 70 somewhere.
I keep it cranking in there. I do.
I was telling you just before we went on the air, and I want to share with our listeners, I feel like that, and I don't know if it's just because you and I have been talking more and more lately that I'm just generally aware now. But I feel like I'm seeing more and more of Hometown Heating, Cooling, and More. Because I'm out on the roads a lot. Mm-hmm. And I'm always passing a van, seeing them at an intersection or something. I'm seeing you more and more around Jackson County. Yeah. You guys spreading out more?
I mean, we're really not, no.
Okay.
We do have another service guy on the road. So we did add another truck. And I don't know. Maybe we're just, I don't know.
Maybe
don't
it's
know.
Just the coinky dick.
Yeah.
Yeah, could be.
Yeah,
all right.
No, it's been good. We've been really busy, and
I bet.
Yeah. So it's been good.
Now we always tell people to kind of get ready, get prepared for when the cold weather hits.
Yes.
And I'm sure you're seeing some people who didn't take that message last
absolutely.
Few weeks, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we sure have. So, you know, changing your furnace filter, getting your furnace tuned up. I know I probably sound like a broken record when I come on here and say those things, but they are so important and very affordable to do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you don't want to be cold. And like you said, Friday night, it's going to be in the negatives.
Again.
Yeah, and your furnace is running nonstop, and that's when the problems are going to arise. So like if your furnace is one day not turned on, so you got to go downstairs and flip that power switch and flip the power switch back on and it kicks back on, you think you're all set, you're not.
Mm.
Call us.
Okay.
You know, just have us come out and clean it. because most of the time that's what it is.
Right.
It's dirty drains, dirty flame sensors, dirty burners. Your blower wheel might be impacted. I mean, there's so many things that our guys clean. Tune-up usually takes about an hour. We charge $99 an hour to do it. The your natural gas providers offer a rebate. One of them offers $65. One of them offers $35. We do all the paperwork for you.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, it could be $50 to get a tune-up. That's pretty affordable.
So you get a rebate for getting the tune-up.
You do.
Okay.
You do. Yep. And they do it every other year.
Okay.
But it's a nice little perk.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, and it's because we're gonna have Brian Wheeler on tomorrow because there's going to be some pretty pricey bills coming out here pretty soon.
I was scared when I opened mine last month.
But I mean, this is kind of what we're talking about. You get that tune-up.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying it's going to be.
It's not going to save you hundreds of dollars.
Save you.
Yes, it could save you because, you know, if you're calling us during the week to get a tune-up and you pay $99, you get your $65 rebate, you know, that's a lot cheaper than a weekend call that's, you know, almost $200.
Right.
Plus whatever else is now bad because you haven't maintained the furnace.
You know, those things never break on a Wednesday.
No.
At noon.
No.
It's
always Friday at 4:30. Our phone blows up on Friday afternoon.
Right.
It really does.
Oh, man.
It's crazy.
I was thinking like Saturday at midnight.
Oh, no. Yeah, I mean, that happens too. Yes. You get some 911. And right now, you know, it is an emergency right now because it is so cold.
Yeah.
But, you know, if it's 60 degrees outside and your furnace breaks overnight, you should be able to wait until 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock in the morning to have us come out and fix it. But right now we are coming out. If you call us at 1 a.m, we'll be there.
Yeah, I know it's a concern for us. We've been fine. It's been running nonstop. We've been fine, but it's always a concern for us because we've got dogs with thin coats. You know, you can put sweaters on them. We've got exotics in the house that we need.
Yep.
We got birds that we
got
to keep warm. Yep. I mean, there's a lot. It's more than just us. We can put a jacket on. We can layer, but you can't explain that to a cockatiel.
No, you can't. No, and the likelihood of somebody being out in an hour after your furnace breaks is slim.
Yeah,
it's slim. So we try to get out there the same day. I mean, our guys been running. I mean, our service guys, on average right now, they're running 55 to 60 hours a week.
Okay. Oh, wow. Yeah.
They're cooking.
Yeah. And that's just because the cold tests equipment, no matter what it is, whether it's car or HVAC or whatever, the cold tests it.
It does.
It does.
It sure does. Yeah. So it's running nonstop. Mm-hmm. And if you got a problem, it's definitely going to break.
Right. Okay. All right. With that being said, you know, we're going to see these high bills coming up. If somebody has a unit that's, you know, still kicking after 20 years or whatever, might be time, still running, but it might be time to consider that upgrade.
Yes.
I mean, because 20 years is kind of the life expectancy,
isn't
it? 20
to 25 years.
Okay.
Yep. Absolutely. And, you know, we offer a free second opinion as well. And we try to get out same day for those too. Because not everybody is, honest in this world. So if somebody comes in and shuts down your furnace and you feel like maybe you don't feel good about the situation, call us.
Okay.
We'll come out and check it. The first hour's free. We don't charge you anything. If it's broke, great. Then you know. If it's not, then we can fix it and keep you going for the winter. That's great too.
I don't want you to throw anybody under the bus, but how many times have you come across that where you've noticed somebody else was trying to take advantage of a customer and you guys have kind of came in and helped out?
So unfortunately, we see it, I wouldn't say a lot, but we see it quite a bit.
Okay.
And I'm seeing it with some, usually there's a company that we see it with the most in town, but there is another company now that is on this train. So.
Get a second opinion is basically what you're saying.
Yeah, if you don't feel comfortable.
It's noncommittal. And you know, people know, you've got that voice in the back of your head
that's
going off.
And honestly, we're not the only company that offers a second opinion.
Okay.
So a free second opinion.
Yeah.
So if companies are offering a free second opinion, there's a reason why we're offering a free second opinion.
Okay.
You know, so just call. It's free.
Yeah.
It's no harm.
Yeah. And again, when you have a new system put in, it's going to save you some money.
It will.
You're still going to have some pretty high bills, but it's especially when we're dealing with the type of weather we have been. But in the long run, it's going to save you some
money. It will. Absolutely. Yes. And you know, the gas providers offer rebates for new systems as well.
Okay.
So, and I think pretty much everybody in the county will do that for you too. So if you get a furnace in, ask them if they're not offering it, you know.
Okay.
But yeah.
Very good. Mm-hmm. And it's too early to talk about air conditioning.
It is. I mean, Mother Nature has the air on right now, so she's keeping us cool.
What I love about Hometown Heating, Cooling, and More, and about you, is how you support your community, you support Parma, but you support Jackson as a whole, too.
Yes.
Of your tremendous support of Big Brothers, Big Sisters.
Yes.
And that's continued this year, hasn't it?
It has, yeah. Yes.
And how's that been going?
It's been going good. I actually have become a big.
Yay! So, you talked about that earlier.
Yes, yeah. Yep. So I have my meetup with the family, I think, next week. So we haven't started meeting with each other yet, but hopefully within the next month or so, that will start.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm pumped about it.
It's exciting.
Yeah, it is exciting. I am very excited about that.
I mean, it can be it's a little nerving, too.
Listen, I am so nervous. I really am. And it's just, you know, it's somebody else's child, and it's tough. You know, I obviously am going to be a positive impact on this child, but it still makes you nervous. Like, it's like having another kid. It's really weird. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, you have another child that's going to be looking to you for something, you know, and it does make you nervous.
Well, you know, but once you get past that, once you get past the mm-hmm. nerves and the butterflies and all that, it'll take a little bit. There's going to be a little bit of a learning curve.
Yeah.
Adjustment. Once you get past that, you have so much fun.
Yeah. I'm so much fun, really excited about it. I am. I'm pumped.
I'm so happy. Yeah. Congratulations. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So, did we cover everything with Hometown Heating, Cooling, and More?
I think so.
Yes.
Left
on the table?
If your furnace is acting up, call.
Okay.
Call us, call your heating company, call whoever, but don't let it go.
And look for those vans.
Yes, you'll be freezing.
Look for those vans with the big red logo on the side.
Yep, and we always answer our phone.
Okay.
So we're not the company that's not going to answer our phone. We will answer our phone. If you call on the weekend, we call you back. So we always answer our phone.
But Saturday at 1:30 a.m.
Yes, you'll get a phone call back.
You'll get a phone call back.
Yeah, it'll either be for me or the tech, but one of us will call you back.
What's your team like right now? Because we've been hearing more and more about people getting interested and involved in the trades. I mean, how are you guys set? Are you always looking for new people? Are you set right now where you are? Or how does that work for you? When you're bringing somebody into the trades, I mean, what's that like for you guys?
So a lot of the times people coming in are pretty green, so we're training them, which is totally fine. But we're always interested in somebody that's already got the knowledge and the experience. If they're looking for a different culture or want to be closer to home or whatever the case may be, hear about Hometown, you like the way we do it or whatever. Yeah. We're always interested in that situation. So the college has just built a new facility for the trades, and we're super excited about that. We've been part of that along the way, so that's really exciting too, because I feel like for so many years college has been pushed on kids, and honestly, I mean, like I said, we train kids, so you don't even go to college. Like, you're getting paid to learn a trade.
Yeah, and
that's
paid
huge.
Well,
yes,
you
that's huge. Well,
yeah,
so it's, and the trades need these young kids.
Yeah,
they need them. We have a bunch of old timers.
So are you looking to hire right now, or?
I mean, we're not necessarily looking right now. We do have a good team. We did just hire somebody that starts Monday, a new guy, and he's green, but he's a hustler. So we're excited for him, and he's excited to join the team.
You can't teach work ethic.
No.
That's either there or it's not.
It is, yeah. And the worst thing is standing around with your hands in your pockets, like, in the trades, you work. Mm-hmm. Like, you do work. It's not like a standing around chit-chatting field, you know? So, and that's not for everybody. You know, everybody don't want to work that hard.
You know, well, and I'm glad you said that, too, because I feel like I'm a hard worker. I got a couple times. I feel like I'm a hard worker, right? But I'm just not wired to do that.
Yeah.
And I always feel like I have to check in my man card when something like that breaks or goes down.
Yeah.
I'm like, I should be able to,
but
as
it's not,
a guy.
It's not for everybody.
But it's not. You're absolutely not.
No.
You know, it takes the right kind of mind, takes the right kind of work ethic to be able to work with your hands like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, these guys are working in the cold.
Mm-hmm.
Too. So,
and going into people's homes. So tell us about that, because you know, as a homeowner, it means something when people come in and they respect you and they respect their home while they're working on your stuff.
Yes, absolutely. So it's an honor to answer the phone and somebody invites you into their home and trusts you to come repair something for them. So number one, first off, that's an honor. And we are truly grateful for everybody that calls us and trusts us to do that. We take extra steps, like all of our guys have to wear booties in the house. We have drop cloths for all of our jobs. Usually when we leave, it's cleaner than when we came. So all of our guys are very respectful of the homes. And, you know, I let service know, too, like if you're at somebody's house and that salt is sitting in their garage, say, hey, can I go put this in your softener? Like, let's not have tunnel vision either, because even though we're not there for those things,
yeah,
the just the little things that you do that can help somebody change a light bulb. I mean, sometimes people, I mean, a bag of salt is pretty heavy. So for some people, they're waiting for their son to come over or something, you know. So we try to pay attention to things like that, too, when we're in people's homes, you know, okay, just however we can help them.
Above and beyond.
It is. But it is very, it's an honor that we get the call.
Right.
So we definitely do not take that lightly.
So you've been doing this, what, 16 years now in Jackson?
Yeah.
And is that enough time to start seeing the repeat customers?
Yes. Yeah? Yes. We've had some customers for 16 years that have followed us. So yeah. It's been good. It's been challenging over the years because when you're growing, obviously you have growing pains. So, and nobody's perfect. We're not everybody's cup of tea. You know, we make mistakes too. We always own our mistakes. I think that's very important. But it's we do have a lot of repeat customers. A lot of people are on our maintenance plan.
That's right.
It's been good.
Yeah. Tina for Hometown Heating, Cooling, and More in the studio with us. We haven't talked about your products yet. So what are the products that Hometown Heating, Cooling, and More is known for?
So we sell Daikin.
That's right.
Daikin owns Goodman and Amana. It's like the queen of the line.
Okay.
Daikin carries 12-year parts warranty. You can purchase 12-year labor warranty pretty inexpensively. They stand behind their product. They're very good to us as a dealer. We don't have any, like if we have an issue, they take care of it.
Okay. Is that the reason why you went with them, or what was the aha moment? You're like, because you've got choices. There's a lot of choices out there. Why did you, Tina, settle on Daikin?
You do. So originally we were putting in Goodman originally, and then they gave us a new line, which was called Energy Air, which was a line of Goodman as well. And so, like, as they offer you these lines that you know you're growing because you don't know, like, you have to spend so much per quarter to be able to carry these lines. So when they came to us with Daikin, we were just pumped to have a big line, a big company like that looking at us. So really it was more like just like the giddiness of it, and they've offered it to us and we're like, yeah, definitely, you know, we want to move forward with it. And honestly, it's been a great choice. We have looked at Train over the years. They reached out to us, but honestly, Train could not offer us what Daikin offers us.
Gotcha.
So Daikin's been great. It really has. And Daikin's growing. They have a big plant in Texas, so they're really like all their unitary product is made in the USA.
That's important.
That is super important to us. Even though it's a Japanese, it's like over in Japan. They're trying to bring it to the United States and keep it.
I get what you're saying.
In our country, you know, so that's been nice too.
Now I know you don't have the spreadsheets in front of you, but just ballpark, how many units did you put in furnaces? How many did you put in last year?
We actually just did that the other day.
I figured it was like end of the year kind of stuff.
Yeah,
you know,
did.
Those numbers come through. That's why I asked you to ballpark it, because you don't have it. I just get an idea of the kind of volume that you do.
So I think it was right around 600 units.
Wow. That
just
feels
right
like
under
a lot.
600. Yeah. And I mean, that doesn't include like,
that's just furnaces. That's not like air conditioners and stuff too. So,
yeah.
Wow.
And then
all maintenance on top of that.
Yes. And we do new construction too. So,
oh, really?
Yep,
okay.
So we do probably 10 houses a year.
Have you dipped your toe into split units at all yet?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you do that?
Yes.
Okay.
So
those seem so cool.
They're popular. Yeah. Very popular right now. They're great for problem areas, you know, where you can't run extra ductwork or whatever the case is, a mini split is huge. Like, we put one in it. We have a cottage that the front room wasn't heated or cooled, and then the upstairs front room only had one register. So we put a dual-headed mini split in there. Uh-huh. So it's one outside unit, two indoor heads. And, I mean, it's they don't cost a lot to run. They're very quiet, and they work.
They seem so practical.
Yeah.
They seem so
practical. And they're heat pumps, so, you know, you can heat with them.
Cool.
So heat and cool.
Yeah. All right. Cool. Tina, anything we got? I feel like we covered a lot today.
I do, yeah. No, yeah. I feel like we're good.
If someone has an issue.
Yes.
And, you know, because that cold weather's coming again, we still got a lot of winter left. What's the best way to get a hold of you guys?
You can call us in our office, 795-2933. You can message us on Facebook. We also have our website, heatandcoolwithus.com, or you can always visit us in beautiful downtown Parma, where it's always 70 and sunny.
When you're driving around Parma, like I was doing some investigating a few years ago, and I forget what road I was on. I just turned a corner and I saw all those vans parked everywhere. It's like you have your own little quarter of Parma.
Yeah. It is. I know. We own a couple of buildings right there around us, too. Yeah. So people are like, which building do we go to? But we do have our office front is on Union Street. But any building you go into, somebody would be like, oh, nope, you got to go over there.
You're not going to have a hard time finding it.
No.
It's
no.
A couple, three turns.
Yes,
you're going to find
it. Yes. Parma's very small. Yep. Right. Absolutely.
Tina, as always, a pleasure. Thanks for being here today.
Absolutely. Thank you.
You're listening to AM Jackson on News Talk 970 AM 101.5 FM.
I'm Mark Daly, and you're listening to the AM Jackson Podcast.
Back to AM Jackson, live from the County National Bank Studio.
News Talk 970 AM 101.5 FM. We'll get to ABC News headlines here in just a bit, courtesy of Think Jackson. But right now, we have Right Way in the studio with us. Greg and Dan joining us in the morning. Gentlemen, good morning. Welcome back to the studio.
Thanks, Mark, for having us.
How you guys doing?
Good.
Yeah,
things
great.
Things
a little chilly, but... We're making it work here in Michigan.
Since we've last had a conversation, we've gone through some chilly weather for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, are we seeing, I had this conversation with Tina from Hometown Heating, Cooling, and More earlier in the show. Cold weather stresses and tests, no matter what it is, whether it's HVAC or vehicles or whatever, cold weather stresses and tests that. Have you seen that? Are people, you know, after their vehicles have been stressed with the cold, they're looking to do a little bit of an upgrade?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, when we get into the summer, fall season, people sometimes are, I'll just wait. But usually when it gets really cold like this, people start coming out and they're like, oh, my car's doing this, my car's doing that, it's not worth fixing. Uh-huh. And, you know, we see a lot of people trade in those cars because heat's not working and stuff's going wrong and isn't driving right.
Or towing because it just will not run.
At all.
Yeah.
It's real.
Yeah. All right. But you'll work with them as far as trade-ins go. But what we were talking about earlier is you guys really work with like first-time buyers and helping them with their credit, right?
Yeah. And that's what we try to do is help people establish or reestablish credit.
Yeah.
And if you have had some things in the past, not so great, come see us. That's what we do. That's what we do each and every day is help people get into vehicles that don't have the best credit or maybe no credit at all.
Mm-hmm.
People come in very nervous about the credit situation. It's everyday stuff for us. I promise you, no matter what you look like in your credit file, we've seen worse.
Okay. All right. And as far as inventory goes, whether it's here in Jackson, whether it's down near Hillsdale, I mean, what's the inventory look like for you guys?
Yeah, good mix of everything right now. We have trucks, SUVs, four-wheel drives, front-wheel drive SUVs, a little bit less expensive. But we have a mainstay of a lot of different stuff right now. I think right now in Jackson, we even have a Challenger. And
really?
Yeah.
So, how's that in the snow?
Actually,
wonderful. If you like going around circles.
Oddly enough, when we got this car, I'm like, oh man, I don't know. But people have actually been looking at this thing.
I'm sure.
When we were growing up, cars were rear-wheel drive. We just throw something in the trunk for some extra weight and drive down the road.
I remember my mom had like some sort of brown something or something in the 70s. I don't remember what it was.
Yeah.
Some sort of brown something, right? And she would get stuck and we were too little in the back seat. Not in a car seat because that's how it was back then, right? Surprised we lived. Guys would just come out. They would stop. Guys would come out and help push. That's just how it was back in the day.
Absolutely.
We don't have to worry about that anymore because almost everything's all-wheel drive.
Right.
Almost, except for that, was it Challenger?
Yep.
That one is not. But people are still looking at it and like, hey, this is kind of this is
it's nice. A summer
ride.
Car.
Yeah.
Swing by later. Dan will be doing donuts in that Challenger for sure.
You got to find an open parking lot. I know you guys, this parking lot's not open.
With the windows down.
Yeah. I had, gosh, one of my first vehicles, I had an older Ford Ranger. It was white. Old Ford Ranger. Yeah. It was just rear wheel drive. And if I'm driving down a road and I saw an open parking lot that had snow on it.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Oh, man. I had a little fun.
And then if you get too much snow in the tires, then you're your car's just wobbling around. Not that that's happened to me before,
You don't know it all. You heard from a friend. Right.
Right. So I've been told. My friend did it once.
Yeah. So inventory's good. You're helping people with credit. We're also approaching that time of year where we're approaching tax season. Now, we don't really know what's going to be happening with the government shutdown. They sometimes talk together, sometimes they don't. So we don't know what's going to happen. How's that going to impact things with tax returns?
So it's not going to impact our customers at all. We have a system that we partnered with called TaxMax. Okay. So we can have their money to them as soon as today.
Oh, wow. And
that can be money that they can use as a down payment. It can be money that they keep in their pocket. It's up to them, but they can have it as soon as today for sure.
All right. So how's that work? I mean, they have their tax return done, just not the return? Well,
in the service that we offer, there's a couple different ways you can get to it. You can go to rightway.com, and there's a link to go to our TaxMax service that we offer. If you come in the store, you can scan a QR code with your phone. It'll take you right to the site. And just with a few questions and your ID and your W-2, you're rolling.
Okay.
And they'll tell you, here's what you're getting. Here's what you can have now. And it's not like it's $500 or $1,000. I think how much is it up to, Greg?
Up to $7,500.
Oh, wow!
Yeah, and that is your money. You can do with it what you want. If you come in and say, "Hey, I don't want to spend any of this on my down payment for a vehicle," okay, no problem.
Right.
But if you want to use it for some of your down payment for a vehicle, hey, we're here to help you.
Yeah. Oh, it's crazy how much you can put. The more you put down, how much that impacts your monthly.
Yeah.
It's really crazy how much that impacts it.
Or gets you more options.
That's true.
Honestly.
Or gets you into the nicer vehicle that you maybe wouldn't be able to afford normally because you have a little bit more money down. And we try and make it really easy for people to use the service so that you're not spending all day and it doesn't take forever. Because, you know, people want everything and they want it now.
Yeah.
So we try to make the process streamlined so that you don't have to wait.
Right. Well, you kind of have to balance that, too. I mean, you don't want to, you know, because people have to afford what they're getting into.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's like you need that reliability. You need that dependability because it's a necessity. You need that to get from point A to point B.
Nobody wants to be standing waiting for the bus right now.
Nobody. Oh, even in perfect weather, nobody wants to ride the bus.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Nothing against the bus.
No, the bus is sitting there doing its thing, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, in our area, I think it makes things a lot more convenient in all ways of life if you have dependable transportation.
Right. It's so important. All right. So they go to Rightway, and they what was the website again?
Rightway.com.
Okay. And that's not just what's here in Jackson. You can look at what's everywhere, right?
All of our inventory is online.
Uh-huh.
So if you go there and you say, hey, I like this truck, and it's at one of our other stores in wherever, we'll go get it for you.
Right. You can filter out, too. You're not looking at everything. You can filter out.
Not everything, yeah.
Yeah.
It sometimes can be intimidating.
Literally thousands of vehicles in inventory right now.
Yeah. Now, how many locations are here in your footprint?
49 in six
quite a bit.
States.
Yeah. That's quite a bit. That's a lot to choose from.
It is.
So
what's lots of options.
So what's the hot thing right now? We're talking about, you know, all-wheel drive and all that. Is it still SUVs? Are SUVs still king? Or
SUVs and trucks are still very popular right now.
Yeah.
But the cars, too. Some people, you know, and the thing with these SUVs now is some are very large, but a lot of them are small, too.
Uh-huh.
So some people like the comfort of a larger car. Or economy. I want a smaller car because I'm doing this and doing that. Got to drive a lot.
Right.
I don't want to spend that a lot of money on gas. So we have a good mix of a lot of different things. Lower mileages, higher mileages, to get you into price points that may fit your budget better.
Okay. So, how long can a car last? I mean, like how many, if you're taking care of it, how long is the car going to last you?
I'm a firm believer that if you take care of your car will take care of you. And what I mean by that is if you're doing the maintenance, that's the scheduled maintenance that you're supposed to be doing, you know, well, for instance, I just sold my son my old car, and it had 205,000 miles on it, original engine transmission.
Wow.
And he's still driving it. It's got 230 on it now. So.
Oh, wow. I've driven several cars to that kind of mileage.
Yeah.
Just maintain them.
Yeah.
You got to maintain them. Doing that work each and every time to get through your service is very important to keeping your vehicle on the road.
Now, if you don't maintain them, the newer cars are worse than ever.
Yeah.
Really?
If you don't maintain these cars, they will break.
Boy, because you'd think that the newer technology, newer would be better, but they don't. I guess they just don't. What does that mean? I mean.
Well, and you know, the things that build up in cars.
Yeah.
On newer cars, they're made to run and run right. So yeah. When something gets out of balance or off key,
yeah.
it breaks.
Right,
that's
true.
And then newer cars to fix, a lot more expensive than the older cars.
Well, it's just, there's a lot more to them.
Yeah.
There's a lot more to them. I mean, my mom's brown whatever it was didn't have a steering wheel warmer.
Right.
You know?
It was push start, not push to start.
It was push to get out of the snow.
Nothing broke in those cars either.
Well, because there was less to break.
Right.
You know? You had to manually move the seat.
If you broke the window crank, you just got a pair of pliers.
Right, yeah.
I mean, the convenience of today's cars is undeniable.
For sure.
Relatively. But yeah, you do have to maintain them for sure.
Absolutely. All right. What didn't we talk about today that it's important for our listeners to know?
You know, one thing that, you know, we were just touching on is reviews. And
oh, that's right. Yeah. We'll talk about that.
You know, Right Way in Jackson has a 4.8 rating on Google. Right Way in Jonesville is 4.9. And, you know, I think that's a testament that we do what we say we're going to do. And we help people. And then we continue to help people.
Right.
And, you know, just because you bought your car, we're not done helping you. Mm-hmm. We're in it for the long haul. We want people to have a great experience, tell their friends so they can have a great experience, come back to us when they're ready for another vehicle or an upgrade, and, you know, continue that great experience that I think that we offer it Right Way. Because, you know, we're not just trying to sell one vehicle. And if that's the way it works out, hey, we wanted to earn your business that time, but we want to earn your business every time at Right Way.
Right. Well, that says a lot too. Most people, I feel like, I don't know, maybe you guys feel different, but I feel like people are more apt to complain than they are to compliment.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and to have reviews like that really says, it does. It says a lot about who you guys are and what you do.
Similar on Facebook, similar review counts on Facebook, and a lot easier to be very negative on social media, and
that's
very positive too if you look through reviews on social media.
Yeah,
and we're just trying to put a positive vibe out there that people can come and feel welcome and have a good experience. And because, again, let's face it, buying a car is stressful and challenging,
right?
And we try and walk you through the process and help you understand what it is that's going on each and every step of that process, so that you're not left in the dark, so that, you know, when you're making your decision, you're in the vehicle that works for you and works for the bank and works for your budget,
right?
And get you down the road and, you know, building some credit.
Right. Now, that's the first thing my wife tells me to look at when I'm looking at something online. What are the reviews?
Yeah.
You know,
what
are the reviews? And if it's not four or higher, we'll move on to something else.
And then also, you know, if you have very good credit, we have competitive rates with other lenders and local credit unions too, that will compete with what low rates are around the area.
So how many organizations do you work with in regards to that?
Over 20.
Okay.
Any of our locations has at least 20 different lenders to choose from, with totaling hundreds of programs that you can use to get financed.
Very good. Yeah. All right. So again, they can walk in, they can call ahead, they can go online. There's options for people to get to start their story, right?
100%.
Okay. All right, very good. Well, Greg, Dan, thanks for being here today. We appreciate it.
All right, rock and roll. Thanks for having us.
Your list. Do we get everything out?
Yeah, we're good.
All right, News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM, and ABC News up next.
You're listening to the AM Jackson Podcast with your host, Mark Daly.
Back to AM Jackson on WKHM, Jackson's News Talk 970 AM and 101.5 FM.
At 6:34 and a half, and it's so nice to have Lydia Sattler back in the studio with us from the Jackson County Animal Shelter. Lydia, good morning. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you, Mark?
I'm doing well. And it looks like We're gonna get into a few other things here, but it looks like, Lydia, you guys have a pretty active February and March and quite a few stuff coming up.
We do. I think it's very cold outside, but we're going to still try to do some things and have some fun and get the community together. So, first of all, pet therapy. We love pet therapy. So we take we take adoptable animals.
Oh yeah, that's right.
To
that's what we called it. All right.
Yeah. You know that.
I know.
Whole thing.
Right.
Yeah. So take them to whoever's requesting visits, and we have 8 of them scheduled for the month of February. Okay. So our pet therapy team they're really all volunteer led. I mean, the volunteers come; they know where they're going, they know what animals they're taking, and we love seeing the smiles on everybody's faces in the senior centers and wherever they go.
Oh, and the pets love, because they get so many treats.
Oh yeah,
they get so many treats.
They're center of attention.
That's right, and they love handing out the treats too. So it's fun.
Yeah,
it is fun.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So that's something we're doing every month. But this, first of all, today I got to tell you, it's Yappy Hour today. Did you know that?
What's Yappy Hour?
So from 3 to 5, the first Thursday of every month.
Uh huh.
Every animal is 50% off.
Really? Okay.
Adoption fees.
Yeah. Wow.
No exceptions.
Even the puppies.
Yes.
Oh wow!
Everyone, 50% off.
Because those 3 small dogs—that's those are popular. That's the most popular room.
It is.
I love your reels when you're showing off the little ones. It's always fun.
Yeah, they go pretty quick. So today is exciting. So hopefully, we find a lot of animals. We'll find a home today.
Okay.
We're going back to Hollywood Feed in Ann Arbor.
Okay.
I think you did that.
Yeah, I did a couple times. A couple trips out there. Yeah.
We're going to be going there once a month or every other month. Sorry.
Every other month. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Taking some adoptable pets to show off.
It's a very bougie feel out there, too.
Oh.
It's nice. It's like an upscaled pet store.
So we'll have to take some pretty bougie pets.
I'm sure you've got them, right?
We got them.
Right.
Yep. and then what's fun is Painting for a Cause, Wine and Canvas. Have you ever heard of Wine and Canvas?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So on the 12th of this month, they're going to be coming to the shelter, to our community room, and we're going to be doing some painting. And the picture's really cute. I can't show you right now, but I'll put it on our page
today. Put it on the page,
Yeah, and it's, I'm kind of excited. I want to do it.
Okay.
I'm just making sure there's enough spots, so everybody gets a spot.
You've got artistic talent there, Lydia?
No.
You've got other talents.
Yeah.
We'll lean into those others.
So, but maybe I will after I do this.
But it's about having fun. It's about getting together with the community and just having fun and supporting, obviously, a great cause, too.
Yeah.
So
I think it'll be a good time.
Now, since the renovations there, it's been, a couple years now since those were?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. You have the community room, which I would have loved to have.
I can imagine.
So, I mean, does that get used a lot, the community room?
It does.
Yeah.
Yeah. More than, I think in hindsight, it could be bigger. But it's been actually just perfect size for everything that we've done so far. We do, we have people come in and teach classes in there. We do these kind of, yoga events, this painting, paint and sip, they're usually called. And it's just, the catnip pillow ladies, they use it once a month.
You know, and I just picked up a couple of the catnip pillows. They're at the dry cleaners off of Robinson. Why am I escaping the name of that one? But So they because they get the long skinny ones and they got the traditional pillow ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what it is about the longer skinny ones.
They're called kickers.
The kickers? My cats love those way more than the pillow one. Right. I don't know why.
And they grab onto the top and then they kick the bottom of it with their feet. Does your cat do that? That's what my cats do.
They just go crazy. They get for lack of a better term, they get high. You know? They love it. I mean, they're floating after that. They're like Willie Nelson.
Yeah. They're
after
wrestling it. Right.
We've got Snoop Dogg the cat when they're with that thing.
Exactly. So
they're
maybe because there's more catnip in it because it's bigger.
That's probably it.
I mean,
they go crazy and the dogs look at them like, what the heck?
Yeah. There's so much fun. So much fun.
So, all right. So the catnip pillow ladies.
They use the room once a month too. So do you know what I think they've got the numbers escape me, $10,000 they raised for the shelter by selling these catnip pillows all around Jackson.
Okay.
They're in several businesses.
I don't know if you've ever sat in there while they're putting together the pillows. That happens all the time. You're fine. Because just for the sake of our listening audience, when they would put those pillows together, and I'm at my workstation, they were so much fun. I mean, the conversations that were happening while those pillows were being made.
Yeah.
It was fun.
I go in there if I have the ability, I go in there and I'm stuffing pillows.
Okay.
It's not very often that I can, but when I can, I love it.
Yeah.
It's like, I just...
It's just a good group.
It's a great group.
And you've got a great core of volunteers right now.
They're so incredible.
Uh-huh.
Like, I can't say enough. Like, they go above and beyond. It's like, and I call them, you know, they're volunteers, but they're part of our team.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right, for
I
sure.
feel like we're all just on one team, and I'm just so grateful that the animals would not be in as good of condition, you know, without them.
Right.
Like, they do so many little pieces of things that we don't have time to do.
Yeah.
I can't imagine not having them.
Well, and volunteers kind of lean into their strength, too, whether it's one that likes enrichment or whether it's one that likes walking the dogs or even the ones that like the laundry. You know,
there's
those,
some
those weird there. People who like to do laundry. You know, there's all of it. You have opportunities everywhere for volunteers.
Absolutely.
All right.
And I love that, because I'm like, oh, I know Bob's in the cat room today, and he's, you know, he's doing his thing. And I mean, he's done incredible things in the cat room. He's made changes. He's, I mean, you know, and I know the Kathys are walking the dogs, and
right.
other,
the
you know, other people are walking.
I have to tell the Kathys I said hi.
I will.
Okay.
I will.
All right.
So yeah, but you're right. Everyone, there's something for everyone, and it's what they love to do, and they do it so well.
Right. So, if someone wants to explore volunteer opportunities, what I mean, do they just walk in? Do they check out the website? What's the best thing to do?
Yeah, there's a couple of things. So they can just stop in and pick up an application.
Uh-huh.
If our volunteer manager is there, you can, you know. I swear, I turned them all off.
You notice a lot of county employees have two phones. So that's it. They're not getting you on one. They're trying the other right now.
Exactly.
You'll be able to talk with them in 10 minutes.
Off now. Put out a memo. Right. I'm not going to give you
I don't turn my phone off. I've been lucky today because I'm afraid if I turn it off, I won't turn it back on. I need that for my alarm in the morning.
Yes.
So it's a fear of mine. So mine goes off all the time on the show. No worries.
Okay.
All right. So if they want to volunteer, what do they do?
They can stop in.
Okay.
Pick up an application. You can go to our website or you can just email Lisa Klink, LKLINK.
Okay.
At mijackson.org. But we'd love to meet you.
Sure.
We have orientations on a regular basis too.
Okay. Cool. Did we cover all the events coming up or is there more? Because I know I pivoted a little bit on you.
No, I think that's coming up for February. You know, watch our website and Facebook page for what's coming up in March.
You have an insane amount of followers on the Facebook page. So many.
Yes. We have some great people out there that share our posts, and, you know, that makes all the difference.
Right.
Just getting the animals out there and finding that person for them.
Well, the content you put out there, I mean, it's good, positive content about the dogs, about the cats, and, you know, other animals that come through. You're really good about showcasing what's there.
Well, thanks, Mark.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. I noticed, because I saw the email come through with the newsletter, and I saw that adoption fees are going up. Can you explain that? Because that hasn't happened in a hot minute.
No.
So and when you're living in a world like this and you don't see prices increase, well, when you see them increase everywhere else, but not with this, it does make, it's a little newsworthy. So why did the prices go up?
So I think, I don't want to quote exactly, but I'm going to say at least 7 years it has been since we have had any increases in anything at the shelter.
Okay.
And I know around COVID time, you know, prices of a lot of things were jumping up.
Mm-hmm.
And we really, you know, we really did not want to put an additional burden on anyone that wanted to adopt an animal or, you know, that needed services. When everything else was going so high, then we had this huge inflation going up. And finally, it's just got to a point where, you know, like our crematory, you know, our prices there for us have more than doubled. And, you know, just overall, you know, food is more expensive. You know, medical care is more expensive. Everything is more expensive. So we did increase by $50 our dog adoption fees.
Okay.
The cats are the same. But I think that's a minimal and, like, compared to other adoption fees in the surrounding areas of this region, you know, I think our prices are really reasonable still. So I'm hoping that, you know, it's still affordable.
Okay.
And, like, again, we have today Yappy Hour.
Right.
And so
$50 off. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're half off everything.
Half off. I'm sorry. Half off. Yeah.
So there's still opportunities for people that, you know, struggle with paying the adoption fee. We don't think that someone who's not paying astronomical adoption fee is not going to be able to take good care of their pet. Everyone can love an animal. They don't have to have tons of money to do it. And we want to make that, you know, get good homes for animals. and make it not a burden.
Right, right. Well, and if you think about it, if someone's getting an animal from another source, like with a breeder or someplace else, they're going to pay so much more. And it's when you hear people say that much for a dog, but when they're coming from the shelter, there's so much that the shelter takes care of before the adoption, even even having them fixed.
Right.
You know, it's all part of the adoption fee.
Yeah. And people, I think, I don't want to say I laugh, but it's is kind of funny when people say, you're just making all this money off the adoption fees. I'm like, what we put into them in medical wise far outweighs our adoption fee.
Right.
So we're not making a profit when you add all that up together on adoption fees.
I know. I had a spreadsheet at one point about how much it is to get a dog from another area compared to from the animal shelter and how much you save and how much that dog. It's there's a lot of savings there.
Oh, definitely.
And I don't know if you, I'm sure you'll agree with this because I noticed it with Daphne. The dogs that are saved from the animal shelter, and I know they're not sleeping on cement when they're at the shelter, but they've had a pretty rough life getting up to that point.
They've seen some things.
So I say a dog that knows what it's like sleeping on cement is going to love you more than an animal that's been spoiled its whole life.
I always say that. Yeah. I say they are just different. And I even, like I tell my daughter, she has a dog that, you know, she had from a puppy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that dog doesn't know the things that my dog's
right.
And it's different. They're spoiled and they don't know.
It's a different love. It is. It's a different love.
Yeah.
It really is. Yeah. So, okay. So adoption fees going up. We've got some things that that are happening this month. I know that there's always been some transports that have been happening. Has that slowed down because of the winter? Or are you still bringing animals in from other areas?
We still are, but the flight season isn't currently happening. But we are going to tentatively have a first flight in March, weather permitting. And regarding back to fees, I do want to say that even though cat or dog fees went up $50, we do have some fees that were decreased. So if you have someone that goes to doggy jail and it's their first offense, we're going to waive that return to owner fee.
Okay.
So there may still be boarding, depending if you know if you wait 6 days to come get them.
Gotcha.
But that fee is waived.
Okay. No, I laugh because I just saw on Facebook somebody's husky got out again. And I know huskies are frequent flyers.
Yes.
They are.
I almost feel bad for
a
them.
A little escape artist.
Yeah. It's hard to like point fingers at a husky owner, you know, no matter what you do.
I know. I get it. All right. So what does that put the adoption fees at right now for the little dogs and for the adult dogs? What's the adoption fee at now?
For small dogs and puppies, it's $300.
Okay.
And for medium and large dogs, it's $200.
Okay. So. And you still have partners and businesses that occasionally will sponsor adoption fees too, right?
Yes. Yeah. Like Extreme Dodge is sponsoring one every month right now. Okay. We have businesses that come in or even private donors that will cover adoption fees too. So we have several that are sponsored. And like, again, the cats are the same. It's $60 for one and $80 for two. Also super reasonable. Yeah.
Lydia Sattler from the Jackson County Animal Shelter in the studio with us. Favorite animal in the shelter right now?
Easy. Levi.
Who's Levi?
He's a white Great Pyrenees, and he went to pet therapy yesterday. He is assisted at a sitting riding shotgun. Wouldn't go in the back seat, but loves everyone. I mean, just the moment he came in, he was tail wagging, like staring at you like he loves you more than life, and sweetest dog ever.
Okay.
Love
so
him.
So how long has he been there?
I must say he was adopted and then he was returned because their resident dog was not having it.
Okay.
She's just like, no, I don't want another. I want to be an only child.
I know.
So
it's hard to
tell. It's
been
a couple of weeks at least.
You do, cause you do meet and greets. You do all that stuff. And sometimes just hard to tell until you actually get them on their own territory.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You have to, you know, feel it out, see how it goes. That's why we do sleepovers too.
Mm-hmm.
Give you some time.
Right.
So he's going to be the best. Someone is going to be so lucky to have that dog.
Does he get along well with other dogs?
He loves everyone.
Loves everyone.
Yeah. First time he meets him. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Can't go wrong with Levi.
Can you highlight one out of the cat room for us? Because I'm turning into a cat person.
I'm going to say.
I'm still heavily a dog person, but I'm turning into a cat person.
Okay. Well, we have two cats that are super shy.
Okay.
And they have been there forever. Like, I'm talking months.
Yeah.
Which is unusual. For anything to stay that long. But and I feel terrible for them. They're in condo 3, and you can never see them because they're always hiding. They're just shy. But you need to come visit them.
Okay.
Because they're super sweet. And they, I mean, I think one was there since August.
Yeah.
Long time.
Oh, wow. That's, see, you know, cats are really resilient. Yeah, yeah. But dogs, I think, you know, there is, you know, a certain amount of anxiety and stress when you're staying in the shelter. But I think dogs are able to overcome that a little bit better than cats are.
Well, I think cats don't like change.
Yeah.
So once they get comfortable where they're at, it's easier for them to just stay where they're at. Mm-hmm. Where dogs, I mean, you give dog a couple weeks in the shelter and it can be too much.
Right.
That's why enrichment's so important and their dog walkers are so important. Mm-hmm. But adoption would be ideal.
Being at home is
yes.
the best thing.
Yes.
Is the best thing.
For sure.
All right. Very good. Website, Facebook, how do people find out more information?
Either one.
Okay.
Whatever their jam is, you can go on Facebook page if you're doing Facebook, or go to our website, Jackson County Animal Shelter.
Okay.
And anything you need to know should be found there. If not, shoot us an email or stop by.
Okay. Anything I didn't talk about that is important for our listeners to know today, Lydia?
I think you covered everything, but adoption is the best.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Best. And come in, walk. You know what? Volunteer. If you're looking for a pet, come in and volunteer and get to know the animals. I mean, that's really the best way to spend a little bit of time. You're helping out the animal shelter, and you're really going to find out if it clicks with you. You're going to see.
Smart.
The dog's going to pick you. You're going to see it. It might not be the one you're looking for, but it's going to pick you.
Yep, that's what happens.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Never know.
Lydia, good seeing you. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Mark.
You're listening to AM Jackson on News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM.
This has been the AM Jackson Podcast. Tune in live weekday mornings from 6 until 10 at News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM, and online at WKHM.com.